Turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Begin reading with verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 3 to get started tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, if it stopped right there, we could just preach, all right? But listen what this says. David said, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Wow. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and sincerely call out to God for us here? Let me hear your voice. Let God hear your voice crying out that he would help during the preaching here tonight. Would you? Father, we pray right now that you would captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, Lord. That wicked fowl of the air that would steal your word from us before it has a chance to take root and grow. Bind him in Jesus' name. God, speak your word to us. Let faith rise up in our hearts. Oh, God, let faith rise up to receive your word, to believe your word, and to respond to your word. In Jesus' name we ask it, and everybody can say, amen. Amen. I want to take my text from that second phrase of that first verse, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help. So present that David said, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed. Now, come on, y'all. Help me out here. That's extreme. I said that's extreme. Though the mountains be picked up and thrown into the midst of the sea. Though the waters roar and are troubled. Though the mountains shake. Wow. Those are pretty extreme circumstances. The earth disappearing out from under my feet. That's pretty wild and far out compared to most of my problems. How about yours? I mean, it may feel like your world is shaking, and it is. It may feel like at times when that doctor gives the diagnosis or that boss gives the pink slip. Or that companion utters that terrible word of divorce. When your children look at you and curse your God. When all these things and many more happen. It may feel like your world is falling apart. And it is. But none of that is as quite as extreme as the earth disappearing out from under our feet. Right? I mean, come on now, think with me here. That is extreme. Yet David said, with all of that going on, the earth being removed, the mountains plucked up and carried into the sea, the waters roaring, the mountains shaking, with all that going on, I will not fear. In fact, he says it for the rest of us. He groups us in there. We will not fear. I mean, David, you're taking in a bunch of territory. Do you have to include me? We will not fear. Now, I want to take a moment to be clear here. That does not mean you will never be frightened. That does not mean you will never be startled. Fear of the right things will save your life. Amen? You need to teach your children fear of getting out in that street. it will save their life. You need to teach your child fear about drugs and alcohol. It will save their life. You need to teach your child fear about relationships outside of God's will, outside of marriage, because it will save their... Y'all with me here? My dad has been an electrician all my life, and he not only worked for a factory most of his working years, but he also kept a side business going. And one of the things he did, there were two or three little factories just down the road from us, and he did all the maintenance in there. And so often we were in there after hours when there was nobody else there, and he'd be moving machines or fixing machines, something they needed running the next morning. And of course he had to be at his regular job that morning, or maybe even at midnight, so we had to get it done. And often he'd be working on very high voltage cables and no way to turn it off and no way to call the power company. And I was just a kid and a teenager, and I'd say, "Dad, please go, let's call somebody. Get this turned off." He said, "Son, it's got to be done now." And finally, one day he reassured me. He said, "The reason I'm going to be all right is I am just as scared of electricity as you are." That was an eye opener for me, because I didn't think my dad was scared of anything. But he said, "That's what keeps me alive, is I fear what this stuff can do to me." Y'all with me here? Fear of the right things will save your life. Odie is very easily startled. In fact, there's been several times in my preaching, I wanted to say something, so to her, I turned around, I said, "Odie," and she wasn't expecting it, and she jumped real big. She's very easily startled. One time when we had our fifth wheel, we were parked somewhere, and I heard her phone used to have when she took a picture, it made the sound of a duck quacking when it took the picture. And I heard quack, and I heard the whole fifth wheel shake. And I said, I was only sitting about 10 feet from her, but the door was between us. I said, "Odie, did you just take a picture of something and then that sound scared you?" And she said, "Yes." That's okay. We're going to be startled. We were preaching recently for a pastor in Kentucky, and they have an entryway right there in the front. And on this side, there is a thermostat after you come through the entryway. And one of the elder sisters was coming into church, and she's just walking through the entryway, and she stepped into the sanctuary, and the pastor was right here adjusting the thermostat. And he thought, "Well, I should say something so she's not scared when she sees me." So he said, "Hi." And she just about threw her purse through the ceiling. It startled her really bad. And she accused him of doing it on purpose, but he really didn't. Not that time. And so the next night, stay with me here. She comes creeping in the entryway, peeking around that right corner. Well, just so happens, Brother Crowley, he's on this side adjusting the thermostat over here. And he said, this time it was on purpose, "Hi." And I mean, it just about scared her out of her skin. You're going to get startled. We were preaching, I think maybe at that same church, and we'd been outside that day. And I came in and was working at my laptop, and I had my hands up there on the table working on my laptop. And I caught something moving on my sleeve out of the corner of my eye, and it startled me. In fact, I screamed like a little girl. I don't normally do that. That's not my normal reaction, but it was my reaction that day. I screamed like a little girl, and all it was a little woolly worm that had got on me outside. There was a lot of trees there, and I'd been under the trees, and it fell down on my arm, and it just startled me. That's natural, right? Y'all with me here? There is a natural reaction when something dangerous or something is perceived as dangerous. If a wild animal or a wild man came running into this place, there would be a natural reaction. Fear is a God-given response. It's entirely within character to respond to danger with fear. We're often preserved at times by that characteristic response. But what we do next is very important. We must somehow take command of that fear, and then we must conquer that fear in the name of Jesus. Y'all with me here? Fear wants to build upon your natural characteristic response, and then it seeks to control you, and ultimately it seeks to cripple you. Let me demonstrate for you. In the case of my little woolly worm there, the unexpected movement on my arm elicited a very characteristic response. The fear brought a verbal response, and this grown man screamed like a little girl. The verbal response brought my hero from the other end of the bus, and she came in and she saved me. All right? Woolly worm removed. Danger over. Fear conquered. Y'all with me here? However, if after that I was rescued from that fear and then I refused to ever go outside again, never walk under trees again, my fear of woolly worms controlling my movement, y'all with me here? It would be an irrational, crippling fear, and it would change my life. That's what fear wants to do. It wants to take that natural response and cripple you. In the case of a wild animal or wild man running in here, it would bring a natural characteristic response. I would expect some to run. I would expect others would scream. It's natural. I would expect parents to reach for their children. Y'all with me? Would you do that? I would expect people that are sitting next to maybe somebody that's helpless, a child or somebody elderly, to cover them and naturally just reach out and respond to help them. Some would run for the exits. Most would take some kind of cover if they would. All of that is natural. But someone must rise up and take command of the situation. If there's somebody here who is... I don't even know if I ought to talk about this. We are in a Second Amendment state, aren't we? If there's somebody here that's carrying legally, y'all with me here? And you're on the right side? And you're trained? You can neutralize the threat and help conquer our fear. That's why first responders train over and over and over. That's why firefighters put on all their equipment, tens of pounds, 80, 75 pounds, depending on what department they're in and what fire they're fighting. And they continually train with all that equipment, even setting fire to perfectly good buildings and running in and conducting rescue operations and putting out those fires. They put themselves in harm's way, even in their training, because that response to fire, that response to somebody sick, that response to somebody in danger must become natural. They do not train in hopes of eliminating the natural fear. You can't hardly eliminate fear of fire. The reason they train is so that they will be able to perform their life-saving duties no matter what is raging around them or inside of them. They cannot afford to be controlled or crippled by fear. If they are controlled by fear, you are going to die in the fire. Y'all with me here? And so they train. They're prepared until they have confidence that they will win in this battle. They have confidence in their equipment. They have confidence in those working with them. They have confidence in their training. And all of that enables them to do their duty, not over fear, but in spite of their fear. And that's what David is saying in Psalm 46. Therefore will not
not we fear, though the earth is literally falling apart. I have confidence in God. Though the world is literally falling apart, I will not be crippled by fear because I have confidence that God is my strength and a very present help in trouble. Amen. How do you get there, David? How do you get to that place where you have confidence in the middle of calamity? You speak with such certainty, knee deep in catastrophe. Verse 2 starts with the word, therefore. An old preacher from Ohio, Brother L.L. Collins, taught me many years ago, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, Brother John, you look back at the verse before and find out what it's there for. You can teach that in Bible school. You can tell them that's the Davy Boggs methods of interpretation, okay? All right. Well, give me credit anyway. Praise God. Throw a doctorate degree my way someday too. Would you please? Praise God. Look and see what it's there for. Therefore will not we fear. It is a declaration. We refuse to be crippled by fear. The declaration begins with therefore. That means the answer is in verse number 1. God is our strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in trouble. The reason that David can conquer fear with the world falling apart is God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help. Man, I want somebody to get that. Very present help. We need to grab a hold of that, saints. Trouble will come. Struggles will come. Sickness will come. Calamity will come. Depression will come. Despair will come. Controversy will come. Our little world will fall apart. But we can continue to serve God. We can continue to press toward heaven. We can continue to operate in confidence because of this truth. God is my very present help in trouble. God is able to help right now. God is able to help right now. God is able to move right now. God is able to deliver right now. A very present help right now. That's so hard for us to get a hold of sometimes. But God, the Holy Ghost is going to speak to somebody here tonight. God is able to work in your life right now. Right now. It's sometimes and somehow easier, Brother John, to believe in what God has done and even what God will do in the future than it is to grab a hold of what he can do right now. It's always been that way. I was reading John 11, the story of Lazarus being sick and dying. I noticed something that I had never really closely paid attention to before. You know, Martha and Mary said the exact same thing to Jesus, and they were not together. Remember, Mary stayed in the house. Martha came out. Martha said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Right? Later, they sent for Mary. Mary came. And Mary used the exact words. I think they'd been having this conversation. Y'all with me here? You know, you just don't say this by accident. They had talked this over. If Jesus had come when we called for him, he would have done it. Y'all with me here? Mary says the same words, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you had been here, I know you could have done it. We have seen you heal in the past. We have witnessed those that were near death being delivered to wellness and wholeness again in the past. We know you have done it. We know you could have done it. Jesus, we believe in what you have done in the past. And I am so much like Mary and Martha in this respect. I have no problem at all believing what God has done in the past. Look at me, church. I know God has saved me. I said, I know God has saved me. I know God has sanctified me. I know God has changed my life. I know God has washed me and cleansed me. I know God has filled me with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. I know God has healed me. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Praise God. I know what God has done. Hallelujah. I said, I know what God has done for me. Somebody give me a witness here tonight. Has God done it? I said, has God done it? I've told it before, but I grew up, and I know this sounds like a long time ago to the young people, but I grew up in the 1970s. Come to think of it, that was 40 years ago. And the saints of God in the church I was raised up in would stand and testify about things that God brought them through in the 30s and 40s, which when you think about it was the same distance from them as the 70s are from us now. And they would tell about those things being like yesterday, and now I understand that. You will too, young folks. One day, you'll understand how that you can be telling a story and you can say, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. And then when you get to the details, you're like, no. That's 30 years ago. It'll get you. It'll get on you one of these days. Those saints were testifying about God bringing them through the Depression and through the war years. Elmer Keaton, the old preacher, stand telling about how that his milk cow got down. The only source of milk for their kids. Didn't have Walmart. Didn't have a grocery store to run and get milk. The only source of milk for those kids got down. He was working. He was preaching. He was farming. His wife kept telling him the cow's getting sick. The cow's going down. Finally, one day she said, just forget it. The cow's dead. He went out there and that cow was already rolled over. And as they say in Kentucky, all swolled up. Y'all know what swolled is? That same thing is swelled, but just a little clearer, okay? Swolled up, all right? Old Brother Elmer Keaton laid hands on that cow and believed God, and that cow got up and gave milk again. You say, I don't believe it, but people that were there saw it and testified to it, and I was a little boy, and I believed it. I said, I believed it, and I still believe it today. My great uncle, Uncle Mike Lamb, he died before I was born, but they still told the story. How that they were out cutting wood out in the country. We lived in the country anyway, but this was farther out in the country. And slipped and cut his big toe just about off, hanging by skin. And no doctors close, and somebody got on a horse going as fast as they could toward the nearest town to try to fetch a doctor. And the other men, his life is on the line. Those other men got around, grabbed it boot and all, and had prayer meeting right there in the woods. And God not only stopped the blood flow, but attached that toe back on. They started toward town and met the doctor coming toward them and told the doctor what happened. The doctor looked at it. He said, now if God had done that, Mike Lamb, then God would not have left a scar around that toe. This obviously it's all bloody and you can see where it's been put back together. He said, if God had not left a scar, then you wouldn't even believe it was cut off a few minutes ago. Praise God. I believe what God has done. My pastor tells about those preachers over in southern Indiana. You couldn't get gasoline. You couldn't buy it, even if you had money. You had to have the stamps. You had to, it was all rationed. And that God told that preacher to go preach revival. God, I don't have any gas. He said, I told you to go preach revival. And he got out there and started up that old car that was out of gas and drove back and forth to revival all week long. And the last night coasted that car up into his yard, and it never did run again until he put gas in it. I come to preach to you here. I'm talking about, I know, I believe. Oh, some of y'all don't even believe that much, praise God. But I believe what God has done. You have trouble believing that one, you're really going to have trouble believing this one. He told the old preacher, God told him to go preach revival, and he said, God, I got a flat tire. Couldn't get tires. Couldn't get patches. He went out there, held his hand over that hole in the tire with a hand pump. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about people that couldn't do no better. They didn't have AAA. They didn't have a credit card. Didn't have David's tire. Y'all with me here? Didn't have discount tire. Didn't have Sears. Didn't have any other option but God. And pumped that tire up and drove that car to preach revival. I come to tell you, I don't have any trouble believing what God has done. He's healed my body, and I know that he did, and I believe God. Last January, I was very sick, and I won't tell all of it. And part of it that seems unrelated, but at the same time, is like my shoulder got somehow just thrown out, my left shoulder. And I mean, I have been crying like a little girl for months. Can't hardly put my shirt on. Can't hardly put my jacket on. I've been in prayer line, and just even preaching, I'd go like that, and I just, and couldn't reach backwards like that. Just, and it's still a little tender, but I was thinking about tent revival season coming up. And I mean, I was the week of in Virginia, right for Ohio tent revival. I was saying, what am I going to do? You know, cause you just gotta be a bear in tent revival. You just gotta grab that pole and do it. I have to work. I can't, there's nobody else to do it. I've got to do it. And so I just kept praying and kept preaching. And we got out there and somehow got the tent set up. And I told my wife at the end of the day, I don't think I strained my shoulder one day. And like I told you, it's still tender, but it is 1,000 times better than it was the last week of May. And it happened in the space of 1 week during tent revival when I was working harder than I have all year. I believe what God has done. Amen. Lord, if you had been here. Martha, he said, he's going to rise again. And she said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. Did you see what she did? Did you see what she did? She went from way over here in what he has done. He's trying to get her focused on now, and she jumps way into the future. I mean, over 2,000 years in the future. We know that now. What a jump. We do the same thing. I believe what God will do, Elder Bost. I believe God is coming back for the church. I believe the dead in Christ will rise again. I believe that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be with the Lord forever. I believe that. I believe God will heal everything. I know the day is coming when Odie will walk on streets of gold. I have no, come on now. I have no doubt at all that Odie will walk on streets of gold, that Odie will be healed. I have no doubt whatsoever that she's going to run her daddy a foot race. And if she doesn't win, I'll probably let her win. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe in what God will do. I believe I'm going to see my loved ones again. We just celebrated my little baby's birthday. She would have been 28 May the 23rd, we laid her in the ground just a few days after she was born. I never got to spend any time with her. I held her just a few hours before she slipped back into eternity. But one of these days, I'm going to hold my little Allie. I'm going to walk the streets of gold with my little Allie. I'm going to see my grandmother again. I'm going to see my grandfather again. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to live for eternity with God and the righteous forever. I believe what God will do. She jumped from the past all the way over to the future. Jesus, we believe what you've done in the past, and we believe what you have promised concerning the future. The promises of God's future power are absolutely amazing. The dead are going to rise again. Lord, I know you are coming back again. We're going to heaven one of these days. I preached about that the other night. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. I have no trouble at all believing what God is going to do in the future. I believe it with all my heart. I believe what God has done in the past. Can I just say to these pastors, don't ever quit preaching about what God has done in the past. There may be a little boy like I was in the 1970s that grabs a hold of those testimonies by faith and still banks on those testimonies every day of his life because it spoke to him. Some of those testimonies I told you about that I heard when I was a boy, they made such an influence on me that I take them to prayer every day. God, I know you did this for them, and I know you'll do it for me. Y'all with me here? Don't ever quit preaching about what God has done. And please, don't ever quit preaching about what God is going to do. That he's going to take us away. That he is coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Keep preaching to us about the past and the future. I'm no trouble. No problem at all. Believe in this. But Jesus did not say, Martha, I was the resurrection. He did not say, Mary, I will be the resurrection. No. No, sir. No, y'all didn't get that, did you? Some of you did. Jesus did not say, I was the resurrection. He did not say, I will be the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. God, help me to believe that right now. I said, God, help me to believe that right now. God has been my help. God has been my strength. God has been my joy. God has been my provider. God will be my help. God will be my provider. God will be my future. But we must believe that God is a very present help right now, in the day, in the time of our trouble. A past help? Yes, sir. A future help? Yes, ma'am. But God is a very present help in trouble. Lord, I know that he shall rise again. What about now? I'm preaching to you tonight. Mary and Martha's out of the picture now, okay? What about now? Come on, saints. What about tonight? Take me to him right now. Where have you laid him? I want to see. I want to see him right now. And they got there, roll away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh by now. And Jesus said unto her, I said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Only way I can imagine that was done is he came hopping out of there in his grave. He's bound. He came hopping out of there in his grave clothes. And one of the old preachers back home, he's been dead for many years. He was one of our heroes when we were growing up. He had a speech impediment. And he loved to preach about Lazarus. And he said, God told him, woos him and let him go. Praise God. I said, God told him, woos him and let him go. Praise God. Bound hand and foot. But they took the grave clothes off and Lazarus went home with them alive. I said, Lazarus went home with them alive and even ate with them and lived many years because God is able to do it right now. God is the resurrection today. I said, God is the resurrection now. God is the healer today. God is your help right now. Right now. A very present help in trouble. Right now. Praise God. I need somebody to read for me. Brother Crowley, you haven't done nothing but dance and worship tonight. Turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11, would you? God is a very present help. God, somebody's going to grab a hold of this and somebody's going to get healed tonight. Somebody's marriage is going to get help tonight. Somebody's home is going to have deliverance tonight. Somebody's going home clean from drugs tonight. Somebody's going home no longer bound by alcohol tonight. Somebody's going to have the bonds of perversion loose tonight. Somebody's going to get help tonight. Somebody's going to be healed of cancer tonight. Somebody going to get your help tonight. Brother Crowley, come up here if you would, please. Pastor, I just want you to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. And I may interrupt you, okay? I'm a little bad for that, all right?
That's all right. Now...
Wait. Praise God. Oh, no, say... I want you to notice that first word. Now. Y'all with me here? I know that's here similar to therefore or moreover. You read chapter 10, it says moreover, and then it gives you this verse. But I like the word now. All right, sorry to interrupt you, Pastor. Praise God.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Praise God. What kind of faith? Now faith. Praise God. I told you, I know. I hesitate to even use this in front of this very educated man right here. Brother Boss, he is an educated man. I didn't know that before, so he never did make me nervous, praise God. But I found out since then, he is two or three degrees or four degrees above my high school diploma, praise God. So, but also know that he's not looking down on me, okay? I also know he's got my back. He's cheering for me. I understand that this means moreover or therefore faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I still like the way the King James says it. Now faith. Praise God. Now faith. Not tomorrow faith. Not yesterday faith. But now faith. Somebody here, grab a hold of now faith. I said somebody here, grab a hold of now faith. Right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it yet. Grab a hold of it anyway. Right now. I said grab a hold of it anyway. Right now. I don't see any reason for it. Grab a hold of it anyway. Right now. I said grab a hold of it anyway. Right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I believe he's going to move in your life right now. I'll get prayed for Sunday. What about now? I'll get healed in the next revival. What about now? I believe God's going to touch my life in City Reach. What about now? I said, what about right now? In the name of Jesus, I believe he is a very present help. A very present help in trouble. I want you to make your way to this altar if you believe God is able to do it right now. Come on. If you believe God is able to do it right now, you need to make your way to the front. You need a miracle, and you need it right now. You need a miracle. And you need it right now. We need a drummer to come and help us. You need a miracle. And you need it right now. Come on, saints. Come on. I'd love to see 100% response. Everybody's welcome. Visitors, you're all home folks here tonight. Come on. Come on, visitors. Come on, join us in these altars. Let's believe God's going to move right now. Let's believe that God's going to help right now. In the name of
right
Jesus.
Now,
oh, yeah.
If you believe.
If you believe.
Oh.